Good morning, America. Thank you for returning to the Old Glory Network podcast. This is Wayne Ahart, and today I'd like to begin by talking to you about a subject called a real American patriot. A real American patriot is more than someone who just sings, "God Bless America." A real patriot is someone who cares more for his country than his party or his personal ambitions. A real patriot prefers to help his country instead of have his country help and care for him. When he pledges allegiance to the flag, he knows that he means the country and is determined to do anything or pay any price for the benefit and security of America, for all of us. A patriot is not one who plots ways to get rich by taking advantage of government or its taxpayers. A patriot just wants a fair playing field so that all Americans can succeed or fail based on the opportunities that good government and freedom grants us all. A patriot stands ready 24 hours a day to defend his country in every way against all enemies, foreign or domestic. And if you're not a real patriot, then you are an enemy to all that patriots stand for. Now I'd like to talk about a subject that is called obstacles build character. The greatest joy you will ever experience in your life will come from hard-fought achievement. Mankind is designed to overcome obstacles and seek improvement in every facet of life on earth. And beginning in the era of the Wright brothers, we began to seek ways to operate off of earth. Humanity needs challenges and a constant seeking of better ways to do things that really matter. Just think back over your lifetime and remember how life was 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. Go through some old family photos and see what it was like for your parents and your grandparents. The difference in today and then is amazing. Hardship is a huge incentive that inspires us all to seek better ways to improve our lives. The greatest deterrent to growth and inventions is comfort. When people are comfortable, they tend to be satisfied and have no inspiration to seek better ways to do things. In an article by Philip Gully entitled Front Porch Tales, I read where trees grow stronger if they are not watered, that watering trees made them grow shallow roots, and trees that were not watered had to grow deep roots in search of moisture. Adversity and deprivation seemed to benefit them in ways that comfort and ease never could. Is this not the way it is with people? How often have you read about great achievers who overcome great odds to achieve? Adversity helps us all. We learn and we grow through hardship. However, people who are protected and pampered or watered every day, like a tree, grow shallow roots and are not well equipped to survive in times of great challenge. Think again when you pray that your children's lives be easy. In the long run, it is far better to fight our way through tough times and grow deep roots than to live a life of ease and develop a shallow foundation that will not withstand the storms that inevitably will visit us from time to time. No great joy will be ours when we skate through life and never experience winning a race in which you have to run like never before. Read the story of all of the failures that Abraham Lincoln had before winning the presidency of the United States. And then read the book, We Regret to Inform You, written by Joanne Steen, a Gold Star wife. And here are a few quotes from Mrs. Steen. One, military grief. Military grief has a long shelf life. Two, grief doesn't have to be the end of the journey. And three, your job is to make sure that grief doesn't win. And number four, their, meaning the deceased, loss is validated. And the service of their loved one is appreciated, and that they, the survivor, has within them the resilience to move forward. No one seeks hard times. No one seeks bad news. But when it comes, grow deep roots. I repeat the first sentence in this article, the greatest joy you will experience in your life will come from hard-fought achievement. Now I would like to discuss a subject that is near and dear to all of us, and it's called the value of money. Money has been much talked about in my lifetime, with confusing results due to varying opinions about it. One of the most confusing positions taught by elitist members of higher education and various religious organizations is either money can't buy happiness, or money isn't everything, or money is the root of all evil. While the actual Bible quote is the love of money is the root of all evil, it sort of gets lost in the discussion and teaching, and thereby is reduced in the minds of most young people to just money is the root of all evil. Well, the impressions that remain in the mind years after the discussion determines how we think about the subject. The youth of our nation have been done a great disservice by what they have been taught about money. In earlier times, humans had to kill something to eat, while managing not to be killed or eaten. This took effort and diligence to achieve. And in modern times, we buy our food and shelter and security. This also takes effort and diligence. I believe a better and more positive understanding of money and its effect on our lifestyle will make us better providers than an emphasis on money as evil. Could there be a more ignorant statement than money can't buy happiness or won't buy happiness? Any six-year-old knows better. Did you ever buy a puppy, a car, a boat, a new pair of boots? Were you ever really, really hungry and have someone buy you a hamburger? Have you ever had a new son or daughter or adopted one? All these things make you happy, and they all require money. Nothing on earth can or will make you happy in perpetuity, because bad things do, in fact, happen to people. But the state of being happy or unhappy, euphoric or sad, it's a moving target. However, money is a necessity that is undeniable and little can be done without it. Most hardships or difficulties in life, in one way or another, are either caused by or exacerbated by the lack of money. Most problems cannot be made better without money. Government believes the answer to every problem is more money. Every church is trying to raise more money to reach and save more souls. Every family has needs that require more money. Every business that is growing and employing more people needs more money. Every hospital needs more space and equipment that can only happen with more money. Highways and airways need more money. Terrorists need more money. Finding and defeating terrorists requires money. And picking up the pieces after a terrorist strike requires money. You see, everything we do or wish to do requires money. The quicker we learn this, the better and happier we'll be at earning it. Let's start teaching this to our kids. Every day we get up, we need to know that we must do something that day to earn money for the benefit of our family, our society, and ourselves. The lion that doesn't hunt doesn't eat. I have a quote from a dear parted friend, Sammy Allred of KVET Radio Station, who said, "It's better to be rich and healthy than poor and sick." That's so true, isn't it? If you have ever seen the movie Gone with the Wind, you will remember that Rhett Butler said to Scarlett O'Hara, "Don't you ever think of anything but money?" And Scarlett replied, "No, I have found out that money is the most important thing in the world. And as God is my witness, I don't ever intend to be without it again." Well, money may not be the most important thing in the world, but when you identify it, it's a cinch it will take money to get it. Teach your children and your grandchildren the value and the importance of money. How to earn it, how to save it, invest it, and use it. And I'm betting that they'll have more happy days than sad. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to end today with a subject called abortion. Abortion is a subject that inflames the passions on both sides. The question is often framed by pro-abortionists as a question of who will decide what a woman can do with her own body. Also, it's often framed as a women's rights versus men's rights issue. I am at a loss to explain why a new baby, who is the equal product of man and woman designed by God, shall live or die based only on the woman's wishes. The flesh and blood of a man is just as precious to him as the flesh and blood of a woman is to her. Political leaders tend to choose sides among opposing groups, such as man versus woman. As for me, I'll take the baby's side. Whenever a human seed is growing in the womb, it is alive. Whenever you take any action to stop the growth, you have killed a conceived, living human being. Every human on earth was at the same stage of life in their infancy as the thousands of babies who are being snuffed out by abortionists today. Had you been aborted, would you not say they killed you? Left alone, you became the person that you are today. If you had been aborted, you would be dead. How else can you explain it? A female's right to choose was exercised and ended when they chose to engage in the activity that impregnated them. After that choice was made, it is no longer my right to choose, but our right to choose. There are now three to make decisions: the mother, the father, and the baby. I believe the baby would vote to let me live. The woman's argument that it is their exclusive right to choose is based on selfishness and a complete disregard for life. The I syndrome changes to we once a second body is living within her. The commandment, thou shalt not kill, did not have an exception, i.e., thou shalt not kill unless it's your own flesh and blood and or unborn. An equally important challenge for society are babies and children whose natural mother has no true love or motherly protective instinct for them. Neglected children are tragic in any society or corner of the world. What good is a mother who won't mother? If humans took as great of care of their babies and children as many do their dogs and cats, we would have happier and more well-adjusted children. This is not to denigrate the fine care and attention given to pets. Indeed, you should treat anything you love in this manner. Unfortunately, many children are not treated as well. I have another article that I would like to impart to you folks today, and it's entitled, I Do Not Choose to Be a Common Man. This was well written by someone that none of us know. It's an author unknown piece. I wish I had written it, but I didn't. I do not choose to be a common man. It is my right to be uncommon if I can. I seek opportunity, not security. I do not wish to be a kept citizen, humbled and dulled by having the state look after me. I want to take the calculated risk, to dream and to build, to fail and to succeed. I refused to barter incentive for a dole. I prefer the challenges of life to the guaranteed existence, the thrill of fulfillment to the stale calm of utopia. I will not trade freedom for beneficence, nor my dignity for a handout. I will never cower before any master, nor bend to any threat. It is my heritage to stand erect and proud and unafraid, to think and act for myself, enjoy the benefits of my creations, and to face the world boldly and say, this I have done. I have a little editorial comment. Yes, you can become a billionaire. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I have something here that I want to share with you. Back when I ran insurance companies as CEO, I put together something that I call the Representatives' Ten Commandments. And I think we should all live by these. Representative Ten Commandments. Number one, never do anything by word or deed to embarrass yourself, your management, your directors, or your shareholders. Number two, never do anything by word or deed that might cause one to suspect your personal integrity. Number three, never discuss personal problems or corporate gripes with anyone but your superiors. Four, always demonstrate enthusiasm for life and career. Number five, always be neat and clean in appearance. Number six, always be professional in your approach and presentation to the public. Number seven, always maintain good study habits to improve your knowledge of your products, your company, and your sales techniques. Number eight, always be committed to accomplishing a planned work schedule. And number nine, always do what is right regardless of the situation. And number 10, always seek to expand the company's growth opportunities by recruiting others into the corporate family. You were born to shape a destiny for yourself. The depth and the extent of that destiny is measured by the personal goals you set. Don't waste time with regret for all the goals you failed to set in the yesterdays that are past. Goal direction begins today for the successful future you can create. And those who set high goals and strive for their attainment inspire everyone who knows them. They climb steadily and others follow. Ladies and gentlemen, the next item I want to talk to you about is a pamphlet that I wrote quite a few years ago, and it's called This is the Year to Accomplish Your Dreams. No matter what our goals and dreams are, if we believe in our ability to achieve them and will put forth our total effort, success will be ours. Make this the year of your dreams, the year of great accomplishment, the year you realize and utilize your untapped potential, the year you achieve long-sought goals in your financial and family life. This year can be exciting and rewarding if you make it so. How can you determine to make it such a year? The year will hold accomplishment, realization, and achievement only if you expect it to happen. Only if you enter and live each day with positive expectancy. Positive expectancy is the attitude you must adopt and maintain. The greatness of your accomplishments depends upon your understanding and application of the principles of positive expectancy. You must expect things to happen, and your expectations must be positive. Norman Vincent Peale tells the story of a group of people who, at the end of 1 year, committed to writing their expectations for the coming year down. Each person sealed his expectations in an envelope to be opened and read aloud at the end of the following year. At the end of the year, the notes were opened. The expectations of each had been fulfilled. The man who had written, "All I expect is more of the old miserable same," received in the new year exactly what he had expected. A woman who had listed 10 worthy goals she expected to achieve found that 9 of the 10 goals had been accomplished. Another man, basing his expectations upon the negative outlook for his Capricorn birth sign, predicted, "I look for difficulties and frustrations." His negative expectations were realized. A woman in the group, whose birth sign was the same, did not know she should expect difficulties and predicted a satisfying year, which had indeed come to pass. Another man in the group had written, "Well, as none of the men in my family have survived beyond the age of 60, therefore I expect to die this year." The man's death had occurred 1 month before his 60th birthday. Each of us receives exactly what we expect. Whether our expectations are positive or negative, we can see from these examples and from the many we have met during our lives that an attitude of positive expectancy is crucial to accomplishment and personal success. Now, how can we plan with positive expectancy? Well, first, we must vividly imagine. We must develop the habit of thinking about our goals and dreams daily and imagining that we have already accomplished them. And second, we must create a burning desire. With the vivid imagination of our goals, our desire becomes more and more directed toward those goals. A burning desire creates in every new day an opportunity to earn and justify our rewards, to develop the consciousness and habits of success, to seek a challenge, to climb to greater heights. We accept enthusiastically the challenge to accomplish our dreams. Third, we must sincerely believe the accomplishment of our goals, however vividly imagined and desired, depends also upon a sincere belief in our ability and worthiness to attain our goals. Speaking of the power of such belief, Benjamin Disraeli said, "Man is not the creature of circumstances. Circumstances are the creatures of men." We must understand that we have the power to perceive, picture, believe, work for, and attain good things. William James affirmed the same truth when he said, "Our belief at the beginning of a doubtful undertaking is the only thing that ensures the successful outcome of our venture." Fourth, we must determinedly act. Determination and action are complementary and effective partners in bringing imagination, desire, and belief into reality. We must plan the action that will see our goals accomplished, making use of appropriate short-range goals. We must plan for the obstacles that we expect to meet and meet them with determination to succeed. Does living with positive expectancy mean that life will be easy, free from disappointment, frustration, and difficulties? No. The negatives of daily life are like the obstacles to our goals. They challenge and strengthen our abilities, determination, and understanding. One who lives with positive expectancy knows how to turn problems into opportunities, how to accept responsibility, and how in adversity to see an equivalent benefit with positive expectancy pervading our thoughts. We seek growth and we welcome change. If you and I want to live with positive expectancy, we must vividly imagine great accomplishments. We must sincerely desire that this year be the best year of our lives. We must sincerely believe in our abilities. We must enthusiastically act upon our own plans and seize every opportunity to achieve. I challenge you to plan and live this year with your thoughts and dreams filled with positive expectancy. I wish you good work habits. Signed, Wayne Ahart. And on the back, we have the formula for success. 6 things. 1, dream. 2, establish a definite goal. 3, put it in writing and repeat it daily until you believe you can accomplish it. 4, create long range, short range, and daily plans to accomplish. 5, enthusiastically act upon your plans every day. And 6, develop such determination that you will not accept defeat. And one last thought, a thought from William James, a quote, "The greatest revolution of our generation is the discovery that human beings, by changing the inner attitudes of their minds, can change the outer aspects of their lives." Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to our podcast today. And remember, every week we will be broadcasting a new podcast for Old Glory Network. Remember also to visit our website at oldglorynetwork.com for any more information you desire about Old Glory Network and its coming TV channel, Old Glory Network.